If you have Habakkuk chapter 3 and you have it in your Bible there, whatever Bible you have, I'm going to actually read from the Amplified version, the complete Amplified version. And what that does, just in case you aren't aware, that Amplified Bible takes original text and amplifies it. And so they're not working from the English words altogether, especially in this version. And there is a phrase that is captured by the Amplified that is found in the original text that has my attention for you today. Thankful to be in the house of the Lord. God, we honor your word this morning. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet or the foot of the deer. And he will make me to walk. Here's the amplification of this part. Not to stand in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, and responsibility. And Habakkuk ends his prophecy by saying, this is for the chief musician with my stringed instruments. From this verse, I'd like to pull out the phrase, progress in my high places. Oh, I want this year to be the greatest year I've ever known in serving God. I'm ready to make progress at the pace that He wants me to make progress, but I want to strain a little bit. I want to press forward as much as I can. I want to lean into what God has. Anybody else in the house kind of feel that Jesus is coming soon and we might be racing a spiritual time clock, and God, I just want to do everything I can do, be everything I can be, go everywhere I can go, whatever you have me to do. Would you join with me and clap your hands at the reading of the word of the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your word, God. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Progress in my high places. Now, there are seven summits, the seven primary summits of the earth, and they are probably behind me on the screen. And I point to them to begin today by telling you, when any time we start thinking about high places, we start thinking about mountains. And I was blessed many years ago to make my first trip to mountains. I was raised in southeast Missouri, and the only mountains there are man-made. They call them viaducts, little mounds of hills. But I made my way east to the Great Smoky Mountains, and wow, I was, as they say, awesomized by the Smoky Mountains. And then we were able to travel out west, and I got to see the great Rocky Mountains, and I was just thrilled. There's something exhilarating. There's something, it's spectacular to get up high enough to see farther than your vision normally is, and just to see what is possible when you get up in high places. And it's stirring. In fact, these seven summits that are behind me, men and women who have scaled these mountains have talked about, written about incredible experiences, almost spiritual experiences for them. Without doubt, the Old Testament records that men would find out, search out and find summits in their region, and oftentimes in every culture, and even these have erected altars and such to unknown gods and idols, because there is something in us that wants to claim the high place. They want to claim the high places for our gods. Yes, and for idol worship in those cultures. High places were geographical locations that were dedicated often for the worship of idols and man-made gods. Look with me in Numbers chapter 22, if you would. I'm going to read verse 41. It came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. You'll remember that it was time for the people of God to travel through, and Balak the king was wanting them to be cursed. And he hired a prophet named Balaam, and he brought him up to the high place of the idol Baal. And as he set him there and had him peer over the people, you'll remember the story in Numbers 22 that Balaam was unable to speak a curse upon the people of God, because what God has blessed, nobody can curse. I'm thankful to be seated here this morning. I'm thankful you're seated here today. And I don't mean whether standing or seated down. I'm talking about seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in the church. Aren't you thankful to be a part of the church? Anybody in the house grateful that God has put you in the church? Oh, where would I be without the church? I tell you, I need the church. And the church is blessed. And so here he was in the high place of Baal. And there where the worship of this idol was frequent, he thought, well, we'll put him here and Balaam will have to curse the people of God. But I want you to know you are blessed. People of God, you are blessed and not cursed. And I concur with worship ministry this morning. The enemy has been defeated. The enemy has already been defeated. We're not trying to defeat him. No, we're walking in victory that has already happened on the cross. Oh, I feel like I'm supposed to encourage somebody to worship him right now. His name is Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. Hallelujah. This happened again in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 2. This concept of pointing God's people, pointing out the high places. And God said, ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess served their gods. Upon the high mountains, upon the hills, and under every green tree. There's just something about the adversary. He wants to claim high places. And there's just something about God's design and intention upon his people to take that territory for him from the adversary and for the kingdom of God. Now, I was thinking I needed to look up where the highest point in Springfield is. There's got to be some high point around here. And somebody ought today just to drive up there. Don't get out, it's too chilly, but drive up there and turn your heater on and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, there may be a shopping center here, but this is for the name of Jesus Christ. Because there's something powerful that happens when we in the material world live out what is happening in the spiritual world. Woo! Now, if you get a check for $1 million in the mail, you're going to run the aisles, aren't you? Going to worship the Lord because you got a material blessing. But I want to point out to you this morning that material progress is important. Natural progress is important. But what I'm preaching about this morning is spiritual progress. Hallelujah. Every fear that I've been wrestling with, I'm hoping to put that personal pronoun in your mind. Every fear that I've been wrestling with and struggling against, God today, because fear is a spirit. And God can give me power. And God can give me an authority and a victory over every high place in my life.
Do you feel where I'm going now? I feel spiritual progress at Experience Church. Something's about to break loose in your ministry. Something's about to break loose in your relationship. And God's going to give you victory. He said, everywhere you go, I want you to get a destroying spirit. Destroy those places that have been set up to serve other gods. You're going to find them on mountaintops, and you're going to find them in the hills. And if you're down in the valley where the green tree grows, you're going to find them there. But wherever you go, destroy it. Well, how do we destroy spiritual high places? Habakkuk's going to tell us in a minute. In Deuteronomy 32, just a few chapters later, Moses is reflecting, and he said he made him ride on the high places of the earth, talking about when the people of God came out of Egypt, and that he might eat the increase and of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Again, in 33 of Deuteronomy, he said, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. I've never been to Jerusalem, never been to the land of Israel, hope to go someday. But I'm telling you, I'm just as much as part of the people of God. I've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. I was there when they put me down in water. I was there. And I come up baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I stood there and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I knew that I had received the Spirit of God because I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave me the utterance. Is there anybody else in the house that can testify? I'm the people of God and He saved me. Well, you're here, you're already dressed up, let's have a little Holy Ghost church, why don't we? I've been saved, I'm not what I used to be. Whoa! He pulled me out of my darkness, bound by alcoholism at an early age, and God delivered me. Hallelujah. God rescued me from a life of addiction, and God saved me. I hadn't had a drop since September the 6th, 1987. I'm a testimony. I'm a witness that God does save His people. Anybody else want to testify? I'm not what I used to be. The shield of thy help, who is the sword of thy excellency. Thine enemies shall be found unto the liars, and thou shalt tread. Read this part with me, would you? Deuteronomy 33, 29, at the very last of this verse. You want to read it with me? All in favor, say aye. 1, 2, 3. And thou shalt tread upon their high places. Now, this is written in the tense where it needs to be said to someone. So find somebody around you, somebody that you don't like. Find somebody you do like. Find somebody around and say, this is the declaration of the word of the Lord. You are going to tread upon their high places. Oh, let's turn it around and let's make it first person. I am going to tread upon their high places. I'm not talking about being against people. I'm talking about spiritual progress. Where the adversary said, I'm in charge right there. No, no, no. Here comes the church. Here comes the church. If just two of you agree. If three of you get together, that's even better. But if two or three shall agree, right there is where He's at. I'm going to tread. Tread, that's an interesting word. That vehicle you pulled up on this morning, they call it tread on the tires. And it leaves a mark, it leaves a path. But really it's talking about, in this sense, with our feet. You want to win, you got to go. to come off victorious, I've got to plant my feet. All right, 2 Samuel 22:34. Look at this wonderful declaration. He says, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. That's the old English word for deer, the deer's foot. And all you deer hunters know what they look like. Hopefully you do. Maybe not this year, but hinds' feet. I went deer hunting one time. My brother took me deer hunting and took me out there cold December morning in Tennessee, shimmied me up a stand about 3:30 or 4 in the morning, and I sat there for 10 minutes freezing half to death. Looking around, there were no deer. So I pulled my gun up and went pow and got down and went home. One and only time. But there's an enemy after your feet. He's not after the horns. He's after those feet. And the promise is that God is going to do a work in your feet. Oh, I'm not necessarily talking about these, although that can happen. Anybody got something going on with your feet? God can heal them today. Woo! But I want to tell you spiritually, when you're just stumbling around or you don't have your footing or you're feeling like you're getting weak and weary, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And when God sends holy strength upon you, your first reaction is you mount up with wings like the eagle. And then that'll start to fade. And then what happens? What happens? You come down from soaring to running. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. But even you can't sustain that very long. You're going to walk. You go from soaring to running to walking, but God's with you the whole time. And the promise is, when you're barely moving and you're just walking it out, you're not going to faint. Because God's working on your feet. God's going to help you. Just stay on your feet. My God, I feel like the adversary's trying to take somebody out, but I've come to preach, stay on your feet. Progress is coming. God's going to make you soar again. God's going to make you walk it out again. He maketh. Do you see that word maketh there in 22:24 of 2 Samuel? Maketh. Now, you may have heard this, but when we were given the English Bible, English translation of the Bible, when the translators came to a word that has process to it, it has an ongoing work, in almost every case, they added an ETH to the end of that word to denote or point out that this is a process. I don't like processes too much. I like here to there. But as you know, walking with God, if you're here today for the first time and you're thinking about starting to walk with God, you better get in here for the long haul. This is no sprint. This is a marathon. This is a triathlon. Oh, this is in it to win. Hallelujah. I sense a touch of God's presence here right now. How many come today with it in your mind? I'm in this to win. I'm not losing out. I'm not going back. I'm not what I used to be, and I don't want to be that anymore. God brought me into this thing to win. God brought me into His church to come out victorious. And I am going to stay with it until the end. Hallelujah! I may not be the best. I may not be the brightest. But I'm going to be the most faithful child He's ever had. Anybody in the house in this to win? I'm asking you, is anybody in this sanctuary in this to win? Let the adversary know you're not getting in my head in the end time. Adversary. And so when they came to this word make and they gave it to us in its process, in its continuation, He maketh my feet. It's not one time when you're going through a bad time. He does it every time when you're going through any time. There's two things about the deer hoof. I just read this in a cursory way, so there may be a much more elaboration on it, but what I learned quickly was that the hind's feet, they use their feet for fight or flight, just like us, unless you know karate. That's still fight, isn't it? He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. There's going to be times when you've got to make a decision. Am I running from this or am I going to fight through this? I feel God's help coming right now. I think I'm on assignment here. It's not just pastor out on a reprieve. This is something that God is doing here today. He's going to put something back in us, or He's going to revive something that may be weakening in us and says, I know it's my responsibility, but I'm not going to fight it anymore. Yes, you are. You're not going to give up that territory. Because if He makes your feet like hinds' feet, the rest of that verse says, He not only maketh, He setteth. Because if I'll keep on letting Him make, He'll keep on setting me. And He setteth me upon my high places. Anybody in the house want to get on top of things this year? In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, especially to the church which is at Ephesus, a city in Asia Minor, he wrote to them and he said, now, I want you to understand what's going on in the spiritual world. We wrestle not, Ephesians 6:12. Be clear, our struggle is not with humanity, one-on-one. Our struggle is not in the human condition. Our struggle is not with each other. Our struggle is not with flesh and blood. But there is a struggle. And that struggle is against principalities. It is against powers. It is against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, if you make this a political thing, I can't help how you will respond, because it is not being spoken in political thing, in political realm or framework. But we have been praying for years for the United States of America to come back to its founding roots. It's not going to be won by political power or office, principalities or powers. I'll never forget the first time I walked into a governmental facility that had great power. I could sense that awesome power in that place. But if this Church of the Living God who may need a little bit of an awakening ever figures out that there is no principality, there is no human government, there is no force or power that can be arrayed against the power that is in this room right now. Should we ever come to realize there is power in heaven and in earth is in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We can come against these high places. We can come against these authoritarian places. And we can pray God's will. And the Apostle Paul told that church at Ephesus, which was a center of, you had Diana there, the goddess, and you had all kinds of powers, the human powers. And he said to that church, you're in a wrestling match. But if you get to wrestling with each other, you've already lost out. The scope of the theater of war, the scope of your warfare, it is not in the flesh and blood dimension, but we are fighting a battle in that high place. And today what I'm preaching is I want to get to a place, and I feel like I'm preaching in first person, but I feel like I'm preaching for somebody this morning, that it is been your cry, God, help me get a hold of this part of my life. I want to do business there, but here I'm dealing with this in my high places. I've got this old thing up here in my high place. Can y'all see what I'm doing up here? This is our high place right here. Okay, some of you didn't get it. Let's get it. My noggin. Right here is where I got to get control of. What was that statement that Elder Wiggins, help me, Elder Wiggins, you, the Christian living, I saw the sister write it down, but I didn't. I'm sorry. Christian living, daily Christian living is daily Christian dying. That was awesome. Do you remember where Jesus died? What was the name of the place? I didn't hear. I've got Golgotha, which in the Hebrew tongue is the place of the skull. Luke called it Calvary. And it comes from that Greek word cranium, where we get our word cranium, cranios. The place of the skull. Lord, if I can just kill this thought train, if I can derail this thing that gets to thinking, stinking thinking, if I can get this train derailed that takes me down a path that you never intended for me to go, and I can get this high place conquered, oh God, I'm going somewhere where you're taking me. I'm trying to ease the knife in easy, but church, I've got to bleed. I've got to die. When I say, God, not my will, but your will be done, I feel an aisle running spirit right now. I want the enemy to know I'm thinking, but it's going to affect my feet. I said the way I'm thinking affects my feet. It affects the way I walk. Oh, yeah. Now, please look with me one more time. I won't hold you just another hour, so it's all right. You got no place to go. The roads are bad. And I want to go back to the Amplified Version here. And I want to pull out here in Habakkuk 3:19. I want to talk about, I felt specifically directed since that I should talk about these three areas that the Amplified Bible talked to us about and amplified it for us. High places of trouble, of suffering, and responsibility. Well, I've preached a little bit, now I'll just have to teach, I guess. high places of trouble. Trouble is the result of human weakness in the Bible. If we get in trouble, it's not God's fault. And it's not the devil's fault. Not my brother's fault. Not my sister's fault. It's me, oh Lord. I get myself in trouble. I want to talk about three kinds of trouble quickly that I've seen in the past decade or so that are causing people to be defeated in their high place. The first is the high place of addiction. If you are connected to Brother Ryan Franklin, I think is his name. He's from the POA, Pentecostals of Alexandria, in Alexandria, Louisiana. He did a podcast this week of my wife's first cousin's husband. And her first cousin was Sister Pam Butler. And Sister Pam Butler suffered for many years. And he walks through of what was the onset of, did anybody hear it? Oh my. He told us a little bit about it several years ago, but I'm bringing it up for this reason. She started on a medication that was given to her by her physician. And instead of being on it 2 weeks, she was on it 2 years. And it completely destroyed her ability to function. It took away all of her psychological filters. She would literally growl at times. And it destroyed, and it became an addiction. Whether if it is prescribed or not prescribed, I wish Pastor were here as a confirming voice. Be very careful what we put in our apostolic bodies, in our temple of the Holy Spirit, church. Can you feel the love? I want you to feel the love I have for the people of God. I'm not saying this as totalitarian or authoritarian. I'm saying let's be very, very careful. Oh, God. Because even the most innocent of steps can lead down a road and a lifetime being bound in the grips of addiction. I'm lifting my voice to say God's people are going to tread in 2025. We're going to tread upon high places of addiction, whether prescribed or otherwise. God, give us a fresh anointing that we can break loose from every addiction. I don't mean just medication. I'm talking about these screens, everything going on in life that causes us to be bound. I say, God, set me free. God, let me be free from this. The second bit of trouble that we'll tread upon is our past. Everybody's got a past. Everybody's got something back there that we don't want anybody to find out about. And that thing can keep us harassed and harnessed and incarcerated. Oh, I can't be something for God because, you know, if I get elected, if I get appointed or nominated for the Secretary of State, they're going to start digging in my past. Got any real people in the church this morning? We've all got something back there. But I'm going to tell you, God has a way of hiding our past in His blood. Hiding our past. I'm going to pull out a scripture from Colossians on you. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, He can make it where they have to really dig to try to find a little bit. Anybody got a damaged reputation back there? I want to tell you, God knows how to repair. He can turn murderers into preachers. Just ask Saul of Tarsus. My God in heaven, I feel like God wants to transform us in 2025. I'm going to make progress in my high places. The human condition of suffering was the second that Habakkuk gave a word that, when amplified, it means not only addiction or weakness, but it means also suffering. It means not only trouble, but suffering. Suffering's a hard subject to approach because there's so many ideas about suffering, human condition of suffering. Sometimes we suffer because of an evildoer, and sometimes we just suffer because we're Jesus' name. And sometimes we suffer because of physical condition. And I know the feeling. Since 2016, my wife has been in a health crisis, and she's coming out, praise God, hallelujah. Oh, I told him I'd run the aisles when I thought about it. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that he's a healer. He can do it that fast, or he can take you on a journey. And so I know that feeling, and I'm going to say it, that fear that comes with the idea of I've been given a prognosis that this will never change. I'll have to live with this the rest of my life. I know what that feels like. But in the face of that, I know what it feels like for the strength of the Holy Ghost to settle upon my feet. And I don't run from it, but I start fighting against that. No fear, no unbelief, no infirmity or sickness, no anxious anxiety. You're not going to win this battle. Because he's making my feet like hinds' feet. Let's clap our hands and worship the Lord right now. Let's make some Holy Ghost joyful noise and sound right now. I'm ready to cause the enemy havoc. I'm ready to walk in my high places. So the third word that is given to us is not just trouble and suffering, but responsibility. Responsibility is God's gift to us. If you have never lived life without responsibility, then you haven't lived. Because that person who has zero responsibility is one of the most miserable people. They have nothing to anchor them. Oh God, I want to be thanking you today for every gift that you've given me. To the parents this morning, I felt this so strong. And you may have a child, a grandchild, parenting or grandparenting, and that child seems to be wandering off the path, and you are upset in your spirit. I want to tell you, God can give you feet like hinds' feet. Oh, if you don't know the prayers of a praying mama or a praying daddy, oh, God, give you one in this church, a praying mother, a praying father in this church that'll pray you out of places where you're headed. Oh, God, a lot of the times there's not a real open ear when people are moving in the wrong direction, but I lift my voice and say your prayers are landing on an open ear that's in heaven. Oh, I still believe God can give somebody grace. I still believe that God can give somebody not a fatal accident, but something to get their attention. Oh, my God, I feel this. Parents, don't give up. I know it's your responsibility, but take it to the one who gave you that responsibility and say, God, my hands are tied, but your hands are not tied. My prayers, give me feet like hinds' feet. Do we have any entrepreneurs in the house? Anybody with your own business? Wave your hand. Look at this. Wait, don't be ashamed. Wave your hand strong. In the name of Jesus, every entrepreneurial setback that the world imposes, you're going to tread in 2025. You're going to tread upon those high places. You're not locked into the three-year IRS default. You're not locked in to those plans and the adversaries of our economy. God's got his own economy. Come on, clap your hands. If you're a wage earner, clap your hands for those that have their own. That's right. When you walk into that place tomorrow, you walk into your shop or your business or get in your mobile vehicle and you turn on the key, you say, God, today, you're going to make my feet. I'm not going to work just to make somebody else a dollar. God, you gave me this responsibility. You gave me this gift of this business. Come on, somebody get a hold of this. And today I confess. Does anybody know how to growl? I want to know. That's a real question. We can't lose our growl. Because sometimes, I know they'll look at you crazy. Just put one of them earbuds in your ear and they'll think you're talking to somebody. But drive down the road every once in a while with an earbud in and talking to nobody on the other line. But you're saying, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to make something of this. God, you're going to help me. Can anybody feel this preacher's heart today? It's time to make some progress. Is anybody in the house believe God can make you to excel and tread upon your high places? Yeah. And then this one, to tread upon, this is responsibility. God-given callings. Please listen carefully, attentively. God has called you and gifted you with a gift of prayer. Obey those impulses. But when you get a little weak here or there, saint of God, in whatever gifting, in that worship ministry took us up this morning, I'm thankful for every gift on the platform in the pews. I've been watching somebody out there working the doors all service. Wow. But wherever your hand is in this thing, whatever God-given calling you are operating in, you tell the adversary today, I'm going to tread upon every high place that would try to steal and rip this out of my life and growl it out. You have to growl sometimes. That's the only thing he understands. Sometimes you're not going to have it. These gifts and callings of God are designed for us to overcome, not to be overcome by them. Hallelujah. Does anybody in the house know that God has his hand on your life? I want you to testify. God has his hand on my life. I may not be what I used to be, and I may not be what I'm going to be, but I'm on the process. I'm working it out. I'm walking it out. And he's going to make my feet like hinds feet. And I'm going to fulfill my calling in Christ Jesus. This is the year I'm going to do it. This is the week I'm going to start. This is the day I'm going to begin. All right. I'll move along quickly. I want to give you something that I hope the Holy Ghost will plant it in your heart to the degree that every time that you read from the Word of God that you will remember this. The rabbis call it the continuum. we picked it up in the 21st century postmodern era, and among the oneness people, and we call it the apostolic continuum. But it doesn't just apply to the apostolic era. They call it the great continuum. And what they mean is this, that when they open the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and they start reading Moses, they have a belief that whatever rested upon Moses when he wrote this is now going to rest upon them. I can only testify to one experience, and that was when I was reading the Apostle John. I asked the Lord, and it was unplanned, not premeditated. It just kind of came out. I said, Lord, help me feel what he's feeling right now. And there was a sense of something that came to me that I had never experienced before. And so the anointing of John, the anointing of Moses, the anointing of Habakkuk. And this concept of old anointing from the written being a mantle that settles upon the reader. You got to read it out loud, according to them, for it to happen. Can't read it in your head. Whatever. However that works. It's an interesting thing. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says that when Jesus went to the synagogue, there was delivered to him the scroll, the book of the silver-tongued prophet, Isaiah. We call him the silver-tongued prophet. He's very well equipped. He's a wordsmith. And when he had opened the book, Jesus found the place where it was written. And then he gives them the quote, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." 60, 61, something like that, Isaiah. And then after he gets done reading, look at verse 22. While Jesus is reading this, all bear him witness. And they're sitting there in the synagogue, and they are amazed. They're in awe. And here's what caught their attention. Luke says what had their attention was they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Something that was in Isaiah's writing, it settled upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The same anointing that was upon Isaiah is settling upon me in this synagogue. This day is this fulfilled in your hearing. You see what I'm talking about? Now, in Matthew 16, 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, I'm explaining some of this. He asked his disciples, and he asked them this question, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist. There's times you act like him. Some say you're Elias. God knows you acted like him when you braided that rope and ran everybody out. Others are saying you're the weeping prophet, Jeremiah. You're just one of the prophets." Every time Jesus would begin to quote, there would be, I'm trying to make a point here today. I believe that's happening to me right now when I read from Habakkuk. I believe it's going to happen to you when you pick up Habakkuk this week and you say, "He's going to make my feet like hinds' feet." And you say it out loud. What will happen is what came upon Habakkuk to write it will come upon you to walk it out. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to declare, "I'm anointed. I not only have God's Spirit in me, I have God's Spirit upon me. I got it down in my feet. I got it up in my hands. I got it down in my heart. This anointing." This anointing. And so the anointed word, whatever Habakkuk was experiencing. And I'm going to give you this. and I'm shutting it down. But here we go. Did you see that last word in Habakkuk 3:19? Habakkuk 3:19, he said, for the chief musician upon my stringed instruments. In Habakkuk 3:1, the prayer of Habakkuk begins upon, we think, a certain kind of instrument called a shigoyon. A shigoyon. Wow. What a word. And it's an obscure thing, but it's there. It's there. And the best description of this word is it's an instrumentation style. He said, chief musician, I want you to put this psalm, this prayer, this song, I want you to put it to a kind of peace, a kind of what do they call those people who write songs? Songwriters. Now, what do they call those people who put together all the accompaniment? Yeah. I want you to compose this, but I don't want you to put it to a specific harp or instrument or sound. I want you to put it to a cacophony. I want it to be so wild that it wakes up Israel. See, this is 19 years before the destruction of Israel. And Habakkuk is lifting up his voice and he's saying, we have got to get the people's attention. And I want you that when you compose this, you set this to such a wild, ecstatic, go look it up, wild, ecstatic sound that it doesn't have the beautiful, the ear that is looking for the tuned sound. They're going to miss the sound. But set it to a sound that just does not come at them every day. He said, what I want them to do is recognize that God has a high place. God is working in a higher plane. Anybody in experience Church Springfield got it in your mind today? I'm going to tread. Here I go. Here I go. I'm going to tread upon my high places. Let's clap our hands and rejoice in the Lord right now. Would you? Come on, let's clap our hands and rejoice in the Lord. Let's stand together. Ministry of worship, please come. Yet I will rejoice. Habakkuk 3:18, King James Version. I told you he was going to tell us the secret. You see, everything was falling apart in the nation. They're just 19 years away from the destruction of Jerusalem. And Habakkuk is having a conversation with God. If I were to give you a summary sentence of the book of Habakkuk, it is this. God, everything is falling apart and you are silent. God is saying to Habakkuk, set this word that I've given you, set it to a sound that will not be a sound developed in the human creativity, but let there be a sound go out, and when they hear it, they're going to know that's God calling me to high places. My God. My God. It is a day of great pressure and mounting problems. The ox is failing. That is, that's human government. That's right. Have you been listening to some of the things coming out of Washington, D.C.? Days of great pressure, mounting problems intended to impede my spiritual progress. But here is going to be my response. That the vine is failing, the ox is failing, the fields are empty. God, everything I see that's falling apart, this is going to be my response. Habakkuk 3:18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Man, I got a checkered past, preacher. That's all right. I've got a beautiful future waiting on you, says God. All you got to do is start rejoicing in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And now, verse 19, our text. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds feet. He will make me to walk, to tread upon my high places. All right, Experience Church Springfield. Are you ready today for an old mantle to drop? Oh, God. Are you ready for that mantle of Jesus Christ to not only be in you, but upon you to walk out in victory? I'm going to beckon, I'm going to call and beckon to everybody in this room, whether you are spirit-filled or not, whether you feel like you have a place or not, to consider joining others that are going to be coming around the front in a moment. And as we come around with a heart that is so open, that says, God, I'm not going to discriminate anymore. I'm not going to say that's too difficult for you to do, God. But I'm going to come with an open heart and a spirit that says, every high place, you're going to cause me and make me to tread upon it. How many is going to come with that confession this morning? God, whatever you're dealing with, maybe it's suffering, maybe it's trouble, maybe it's responsibility, whatever it is. But today you can bring it to Him and you can say, God, you're my strength. You are the one that's going to sustain me. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Let's leave our seats. Let's everybody that can and are able to join us around the front. The ministry of worship is going to give us an environment to seek God. They're going to worship God themselves. But as you come, let Him do something in your spirit this morning. It says, God, the pressure is mounting, but it's not going to take me out. If I have to make a wild sound, if I have to growl my way through, if I have to do whatever you want me to do, God, I am going to tread upon my high places. I'm going to make spiritual progress this year. I'm giving up this addiction. I'm giving it up. I'm laying it on the altar today. Oh, thank you, EC family. Come on. Come on up and just, if you aren't able to make it to the front right where you're seated, just lean over in that seat in front of you and just say, God, I can't leave here today like I came. I'm going. You've given me a measure of progress. God, you've helped me to progress in so many ways, and I want to praise you for it. But Lord, I want to make more spiritual progress in my high places. Oh, God, help me get a hold of my thinking. Help me get a hold of my passions. Help me get a hold of these fears that try to wrestle me down. Let's pray together in the Holy Ghost for a few moments. Let's pray together in the Spirit for a few moments. He's making my feet. Right now, God, even now, begin working on my walk. Begin working upon me. Help me tread it out, God. If you find a brother that you want to pray with, a sister you want to pray with, go ahead, be at liberty. Help one another right now. giving it to you, God. I'm giving it to you, my strength. Holy Spirit, move right now upon everybody. Let there be a reservoir of strength opened. Oh, it doesn't even have to be a flood, just a flow of strength in the mind, a strength in the heart, a strength in our boldness and our bravery. God's going to give me bravery. God's going to make me bold again. Hallelujah. What the enemy tried to take, I am going to restore it. I believe God is saying what the enemy tried to take from you, God is going to strengthen you to have it, possess it. Hallelujah. Defeat the enemy. Woo! F-E-E-T. Defeat the enemy. God, empower our walk. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk it out victorious.